Self, dull and grey. But there was some relief on the way. The Irish Hospital Sweepstakes programme offered some popular entertainment every evening at 10:30. But then the station closed down at 11 o'clock. And that's all you got until lunchtime next day, when sponsored programmes took over, one of them giving us the first ever radio jingle in Ireland.
A cleaning and a pressing and a dying for you. We keep a cleaning and a pressing till we make it like new. IMCO cleaning is the best. If you doubt it's true, just let IMCO, IMCO, clean and press it for you.
In the early 1950s, sponsored programs were extended to the morning time to support an 8 o'clock news bulletin brought on by a newspaper strike. Sponsored programs became an essential part of the sound of Radio Éireann.
Morning music for the past 15 minutes has been presented by Chivers, makers of the famous jellies, jams, marmalade, jelly creams, and custard powder. Don't forget to listen to the other Chivers program on Fridays at 1 o'clock, and of course, we'll be back again on Tuesday next at 8:45.
Passing a chemist's shop today, go in and ask to see Gala Face, the new kind of makeup that is powder and base all in one. Gala Face, the newest kind of makeup, comes in the loveliest complexion tints that cleverly mask all small imperfections in your skin and leave it beautifully flawless.
How long does it take you to make a jelly? However quick or slow a worker you are, you'll make jelly faster with Bird's Jelly Deluxe. You see, Bird's Jelly Deluxe is made in two tablets, and each tablet has a honeycomb surface to make the jelly dissolve quickly. So, ask for Bird's Jelly Deluxe. Well, after all, you do want the best, don't you?
Radio Éireann was still part of the Department of Posts and Telegraphs and would be so until 1960. It attracted a fair share of creative people, artists, musicians, performers, but nobody was left in any doubt that they still worked for a government department.
Office notice number 953. As some members of the staff are rather lax in the matters of punctuality and signing attendance books, the following points are being brought to the attention of all the staff. Luncheon interval. The authorised luncheon interval for staff working the normal hours of attendance is 1 hour, but officers may, as a matter of grace, be allowed to take not more than 1/4 hour extra. Officers in charge of sections should report to the staff administration officer any case where an officer frequently comes back late from lunch. Breaks for tea or coffee. A break for morning tea or coffee in the GPO dining room is at present allowed as a privilege. The break may have to be withdrawn if the staff continue to absent themselves from their work for unduly long periods. It should be possible for all officers to be back at work within 10 minutes or at the very outside, 1/4 hour. Breaks for afternoon tea, etc. Breaks will not be permitted except for very special reasons, e.g. on medical advice. Any officer who desires permission to have an afternoon break for the purpose of visiting the dining room should seek the prior approval of the administration officer. Signed, M. O'Doherty, Administration Officer, November 1953.
And then, in 1956, horror of horrors.
Rock and roll had arrived. The film played Dublin in the middle of August to an audience of enthusiastic but eminently respectable devotees of the newest new music.
While another one buttered my brain. Two girls gave me my money. Two girls made me my clothes.
But word got around. Before long, in some cinemas, it was the furniture that began to roll and rock. As one cinema manager found out,
It took, I think, about 5 minutes for that crowd to change from being a very good-humoured lot into a collection of blackguards. And, of course, they were all very sorry the following day, and they were all back to apologise, but that didn't remedy the damage that had been done. As in every crowd, a very large crowd, and as in every crowd, there's a small element of outright blackguards who want to use the occasion for wreckage.
But the wreckers are few. Most fans deplore this conduct. You should take rock and roll seriously. It's quite different from just bopping. Let an expert explain.
You've seen the Dixieland band, they'd be doing bopping. If they played rock and roll, they do the same steps. There's no difference here. But in England there is. In London now, for instance, I was in London there for a while, and that's where they do rock and roll. And they have the partners in London, rock and roll, and it's really great to watch it. Marvellous. The way they do the splits in the air and rolling across the shoulders and all of that, you know, and doing the splits and everything like that.
The fans say that Oranor would cause no trouble if the dance halls would only let it alone. They say suspicion of it colours their mildest activities.
I was thrown out of another dance hall for that, for doing the Charleston. I was told there was jiving in it. And, well, as far as I was concerned, it wasn't jiving, it was only just doing the Charleston down there, as I was taught it.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they come along and they said, oh, Charleston, not at all, that's not Charleston. He says, that's jiving. And when they tell you that's jiving, well, you can't object to them, and you can't say they're wrong, because they just tell you out the door.
Well, how about rock and roll? Do you think it's here to stay?
I think it is, and it'll catch on, and catch on fast.
And all right, he was. But then a comedy show arrived in the mid-50s as well, different to anything we'd heard before, an independent production produced outside of Rally Warren and built around one of those actors who auditioned for the rep in 1947, Joe Lynch.
And to help the stranded visitor, a new bed bureau was opened in Dublin. Here is a typical customer whom we'll call Cecil.
Excuse me. I say excuse me.
Well, now, wait a minute. Now, here's the bed Tom Walsh left it.
There is not in the bureau a bed that's so sweet. And 'tis well known Tom Moore never washed his 2 feet.
Well, I hope they've changed the sheets. I say, I hope they've changed the sheets. I'm very particular.
Yes. Everything must be special for Cecil. Well, look here, for 7 and 6, here's a bed and your breakfast thrown in.
Breakfast thrown in and ruin my nice new spotted nighty. Not on your nanny, I say. Not on your nanny.
Down in Mexico, at each high noon, siesta is the thing. Oh, you can find them sleeping out in the shade while the birds so softly sing. But from a radio there comes a U.S. show, and the disc jockey's playing the blues. Before they know what's happened, they're up and clapping to the tune of the blues suede shoes. Oh, 1, 2, and then rock. It's the funniest thing ever told. The day that Mexico gave up the rumba for to do the rock and roll.
Living with Lynch, but Joe Lynch and friends had some competition from within the GPO.
Office Notice 257. It has been observed that some members of the staff continue to park their bicycles against the walls of the GPO in Princes Street. Adequate accommodation for staff cycles is available in the cycle shelters in the GPO inner yard. And as this cycle accommodation was provided at considerable expenses for the convenience of the staff, the parking of bicycles against the GPO walls will not be tolerated. The Gardaí have now been requested to take whatever steps they consider necessary to ensure discontinuance of the practice. R. Walsh, Establishment Officer, and Cathrú Lá de Mártha, Nádia Cuige Seacht.
Yeah!
Gilligan one fine day.
He got a lot of money from USA.
All to the death of his Uncle Joe.
He got a million and a half or so.
Homie Gilligan says, I'll give the ball.
Down in the old ancestral hall.
Invite the neighbors, everyone.
For to have some music and some rare old fun.
Diddly dump, diddly doodle, diddly dump.
And we all went down to make McGilligan's ball.
So they called me in and they said, look, would you host a program of some kind for 6 weeks until we see what we're going to do? So I said, yes. And they said, well, they had done research. And funnily enough, they had found out that Irish music was still pretty tops, even though they weren't doing an awful lot of it at the time. And then they got the idea, well, if they could broaden the scope of listening by introducing something a little lighter with it, you know, bringing a few songs, a few gags, a few stories, make it light, humorous, and so on. Not a good idea. So this we decided to do. And then we got the great idea of dancing on radio. We borrowed a tap mat from the Theatre Royal. We got Rory O'Connor in the dancers, and we worked with 6 foot mics, you know. You know, the foot mic is only about 6 or 7 inches off the ground, and we had 6 foot mics picking up the sound. People really thought they were, you know, listening into a Cayley house. Yeah. You know, that they kind of had their ear to the door, so to speak, you know. And this thing got tremendous publicity. I remember there was the music critic from the Sunday, or the radio critic from the Sunday Times was in Ireland on holidays, and he was coming home on Sunday and he turned on the radio and he heard this thing. And the following Sunday, he wrote a big piece on the Sunday Times about dancing on Irish radio, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, we hope you enjoy the show and that you'll join us again. In the meantime, it's cheerio from Michael O'Neill, Francis McDermott, the Broadsiders, Dennis Brennan, Maura O'Sullivan, Father Fenton, Albert Healy, the Rory O'Connor Dancers, the Gallagher Cayley Band, our two sound men, John Eames and Harry Bradshaw, producer John Lynch, and yours as always, Dinjo.
Dennis Fitzgibbon, Dinjo, dancing on Irish radio on Take the Floor. Then there was a famous situation comedy.
Not that time, is it? I was sure I set the clock right by the wireless last night. It couldn't have gone so slow in the meantime unless there's something wrong with it. I'll sit down there at the table. I'll get you your breakfast now in a minute.
Oh, you can stop your fussing, Alan.
The Foley Family. And a programme utterly unique to Radioware and still being produced on television, and it was all Paddy Crosby's idea.
Well, the idea of the school around the corner came originally from a school by act that I used to do. I was the original school by, as the fella said. I used to dress up and portray a fella called Mucky Dunn. And actually, I was using the nickname of a lad who had been in school with me. But when the major series started, we were looking for a signature tune. So they decided to use the very same signature tune that I used in the single school by act. And it was Michal O'Hay and Seamus Caivanagh who introduced it to radio. Seamus saw something in it because he had been a teacher himself, and God knows there was no greater character than Seamus. We did a run of six in the beginning, and the first school we did was my own school, North Brunswick Street, Brunner as we call it. And we recorded it at another school together. It was a howling success. It was a winner right from the start. In fact, I can claim to be the first fellow in Radio Ed to give free speech to kids.
And we all dashed home from school at lunchtime to hear the exploits of Ireland's first radio family.
Fry Cadbury present the Kennedys of Castle Ross. ¶¶ The makers of Cadbury's wonderful drinking chocolate present another episode in the life of Ireland's popular radio family.
Good evening, Heather.
Would you give me an ounce of the usual?
Sure, Heather.
And a box of matches, too. I don't want to have the same trouble tonight.
Trouble,
Heather? I ran out of matches in the middle of the night. Had to make me rounds of the factory sucking on an unlit pipe.
Ah, sure, that's too bad, Heather.
Never felt so frustrated in all my life. It was like trying to smell a flower with a clothes peg on me nose.
Well, tonight you'll have matches. Here you are.
That's 2 and 3 pence halfpenny, isn't it?
Oh, would you ever excuse me for a minute, Heather?
I get it, Mom. Hello? Yes?
Here's a half a crown.
Thank you, Heather. I'll get you your change.
Yes, Aunt Nora. Which hospital did you say? Yes? Yes?
Here you are, Heather.
Thank you.
Knocked down by a car.
Oh, God help us.
What's that, Mrs. Kennedy?
Nothing, Heather.
But how did it happen?
Well, time for me to be going. Good night, Mrs. Kennedy.
Good night, Heather. How badly is she hurt?
She doesn't know. All she could find out was that Ellen was hit by a car and she's at St. Mark's.
Oh, the poor child. They've got to get to her right away.
No, Ma, I'll drive up. I'll ring you as soon as I find out how she is.
No, I'm going. A mother's place is with her daughter at a time like this.
But there's no sense in both of us going.
Look, you have to work tonight, son. There's a 6 o'clock train for Dublin and it'll get me there faster than you can drive.
But, Ma...
No, Brian. That promotion is important. Don't worry, no. Just tell Christy to take care of the shop when he comes in.
What will Mrs. Kennedy find in Dublin? Is Ellen seriously injured? Be with us on Tuesday next at 1 o'clock when Fry Cadbury, makers of Cadbury's Dairy Milk Chocolate, present episode 2 of The Kennedys of Castle Ross.
Now it's 8:45 and time for the Phillips program with Dennis Brennan.
I know, Bertie, that in your part of the country the Easter eggs have shells. But did you have to fill the shells you sent to me with TNT? Soft April showers bring forth May flowers, and I could rhyme for hours and hours. Instead, I'll just announce the Phillips Show. And about time, too.
Dennis Brennan, who also featured on the Smash Hit programme on Sunday lunchtime, Don't Look Now, with Maureen Potter.
Shorten the arms, Jim.
Yes, Agatha.
Oh!
The arms of the coat, Jim, not the third. Finish there, sir. Oh, it's soon up.
Let me see in the mirror. What's that lump up the back?
Come out, Jim. We're finished.
I'll just clip it off and have a good look at it. I'm very particular about this coat, you know.
Yes, sir. Scrutinize it with an intense scrutiny, sir.
The buttons seem to be very tight. What's this? Idiot woman. Look what you've done. You've sewn up the front. I can't get it off.
Jim!
Yes, Agnes?
There's no way out.
No, Agnes.
So rip it up, Jim! Rip it up!
For the past half hour, you've been tearing around with Maureen Potter, Brendan O'Dowda, Pat Lay, Dennis Brennan, Sheila Ward, Chris Lamb and the Skymasters, and the Radio Air and Night Orchestra. Don't Look Now was written by Dermot Doolan and Michael McGarry, with additional material by Jack O'Leary, and the show was produced by Fred O'Donovan.
Then in 1958, a debut from a young Dubliner casting his eye around Howth.
And finally, a brief report on Operation Eyedrop, which took place yesterday when a light plane from Western Aerodrome, flown by members of the Irish Parachute Club, made a practice supplies drop on the island of Ireland's Eye off Howth Head. At the aerodrome, Gay Byrne talked about the drop with Noel O'Beara.
What are you dropping, Noel, today?
Well, we're dropping various types of foodstuffs, that is, solid food and drink, and we're also dropping a watch.
Yes.
And we're dropping containers which would normally hold whole blood or plasma.
And this is what the actual drop looked like.
Well, George O'Donoghue in the Auster has just come around twice to the island with two parachutes and dropped them extremely well. Very, very good shooting on the part of Michael O'Gowan, who's throwing them out. And he's coming in for his third one now. And there it is, a yellow parachute just coming straight down. And I think it's dead on the target once again. Do you think so, boys? Would you say it's... Definitely. I think it's dead on target straight again. He's just pulling away from the island now, and the parachute is coming down almost right on the signal flame, which Nola Beira has put on the island. And there it is, right down beside the church, the ancient church on Ireland's Eye. That's it. She's down, and George O'Donoghue pulls away.
Well done, George!
And Gay was out in Howth again shortly afterwards, holding the tape recorder for Joe Linane, as Joe brought the 50s and a chapter in Dublin history to a close.
I'm sitting on top of old number one, the first car that ever ran on the Howth tramways 58 years ago, and feeling rather nostalgic and sad about the closing of the old Howth tramway. I'm up here on top on this glorious May day, sitting on my own. There's one small boy, passenger down below, Tom the driver, and Willie the conductor, rolling along here at a nice steady pace, approaching the summit. Feeling rather sad, like all the residents from Howth up to the summit and down to Sutton. Just feeling as sad as they are about the closing of the old Howth tramway. To my left here, there's the Bailey Lout House, a coaster carving its delicious way through a very calm sea. And the prospect in the distance of perhaps a cup of tea or a glass of something at the inn at the top of the summit, which we are now fast approaching. Did I say fast approaching? Slowly approaching, deliciously, charmingly, wonderfully approaching. That is something that Dubliners, Irelanders, and foreigners are going to miss in just a few days' time. As one lady said, progress must go on. The Howth tram has to go. What a pity. But it's pulling to a stop at this moment. There is the inn, lounges, bars written on it, tea rooms, ice creams. Progress has come to the summit, and the old Howth tram has to go.
Hello, you're even there, Jorge. Keep me the phone to I've got chocolate sherry. And for our music in Kenny House here tonight, we travel westwards across the Shannon to the broad and friendly county of Galway, with its low stone walls and fuchsia hedges and trees leaning from west to east before the prevailing wind. Lough Corrib drives its wedge deep into the county Galway, separating Irish-speaking Connemara with its indented coastline, its merry rivers and rivulets and lakelets, and its ranging mountains from the great plain of Connacht stretching eastwards to the banks of the Shannon. Now, only a few miles from the middle reaches of the Corrib lies Hetford, and from Hetford comes tonight to Kenny House the Matt Cunningham Kenny Band, playing for us now here reels, the Fox Hunter, the Kilmaley Reel, and a trip to Sligo.
The ever-popular Kelly House with the ever-popular Farrity Sean O'Marco. But for younger listeners to the Irish station, well, there was very little indeed to grab their ears. They worked their way along the medium wave towards 208 metres.
For all that's worthwhile, your radio dial is on Radio Luxembourg.
This is Radio Luxembourg, the great 208. We're ringing in the street.
We spent our nights trying to tune to Radio Luxembourg through the medium wave, the static and the fading. And when we did hear the radio, we heard radio that sounded totally different.
record fans, wherever you are. Once again, it's time for another roundup of all your favorite British and American recording artists, brought to you by the Decca Record Company for your special delight tonight. Oh, excuse me, madam.
Yes?
I work for Luxembourg, you see.
Oh, I am sorry.
I'm afraid I can't help you.
No. I was hoping you'd play chaperone to this young fellow.
Hi there, guys and gals. Welcome to Warner Brothers Record Show. The first name in pictures brings you the first name in sound, and here's going to be the big one.
Don't want your love.
The Warner Brothers label, yet again from the Everly Brothers, and for your pop pickers, that's the record night tonight, so remember, it's tomorrow night at 9. All right? Right. And that means good night.
And that's my cue to remind you, honey, that this is where we have to fade out on this session of Honey Hit Parade. Be sure to keep our next 208 date with Music the Sweet Way and the Beatway, courtesy of Fleetway and their hit magazine, Honey. So on behalf of my producers, Roy Tuvey and Maurice Seller, this is Kent Walton saying take care and hear us again.
But the only place we could get Music the Sweet Way and the Beatway was on the Donnelly programme with Niall Bowden and his famous catchphrase.
Hello there. To be sure, it's the talk of the nation, the sausage excitingly new, so new it's caused a sensation, and Donnelly's make it for you. I can remember the words, but I can't sing it. And the closing was by now. I thought it had a double meaning, B-Y-E now and B-U-Y now. So that's why we ended with by now.
Frankie Byrne with another edition of Woman's Page, a program for maybe about you. Now, the problems I'll be discussing today may not be yours, but they could be someday. At all events, Woman's Page draws us material from the lives and events of real people. And it comes to you now with the compliments of Jacobs, the biscuit makers.
This is the Walton Programme, your weekly reminder of the grace and beauty that lie in our heritage of Irish song, the songs our fathers loved. And today we want to send greetings and good wishes to all our listeners everywhere. First we turn north with Charlie McGee and the Homes of Donegal.
I've just called in to see you all, I'll only stay a while. I want to see how you're getting on, I want to see you smile. I'm happy to be back again, and I greet you big and small. For there's no place else on earth just like the homes of Donegal.
Sports Parade, your Monday morning excursion into the realms of sport, presented by the makers of Vaseline brand hair cream, the hair cream that is moisturized to dress your hair the way you want it.
Hello, everybody, and a very good morning. And this is Michael O'Hare bringing you this morning's edition of Sports Parade. This week will be interesting in the world of racing because on Wednesday it shall be my pleasure once again to be the commentator on television racing, the second occasion on which racing in Ireland has been put on television live. The venue, Down Royal, and on the BBC we shall be bringing you two of the races of that day. It should be interesting. The first episode in the story of Irish racing television last year proved quite popular, hence this effort now to repeat the performance.
That was Michael O'Hare in February 1961. Later that year, he disowned television sports.